explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back to the program. It is the Wednesday, the eve of Thanksgiving. 888-914-9149. Give me a call if you're on the road, if you're traveling. You can talk to me. I'll keep you company. And hopefully I'm keeping you company on Relevant Radio if you're listening on the app or on the radio itself. Glad to be with you. Glad to be with you. Well, there is a pretty viral clip that is all over the place on social media. And a friend of mine sent it to me, Greg Manette, and this is just wild. An atheist by the name of Hemant Mehta, who calls himself, I think he calls himself the Friendly Atheist, that's his website, has posted a video of an end times preacher, named Sharon Gilbert. Now, perhaps you've seen this. If you haven't, you will hear this in just a moment. You'll hear a clip from this. She was on the Jim Baker show. Do you remember Jim Baker, the disgraced televangelist? He's making a comeback. And she said some very interesting things happened to her. Let's hear what the end times preacher Sharon Gilbert says. Check this out.
After Derek and I got married, one night, this other Derek appears in our bed. The real Derek is lying down next to me. Other Derek sits right up out of him. It startled me. I knew that was not Derek. And so I asked this critter, "Who are you?" And I said, he said, "Come on, I'm your husband." I said, "Who are you?" And he had the nerve to claim to be Ahasuerus, Xerxes. Well, other Derek seriously wanted to invite me to use my free will to do something that was going to pull me away from God. So this last time, I knew he was really desperate. And I asked him again, "Who are you?" He told me the same answer. And I said, "I am not going with you." This was an internal dialogue. Finally, I said, "I've had enough." In my mind, I reached up. I grabbed his face. And I said, "You are a liar. And Jesus is real." And I pulled that face off. And beneath it was a reptile. And he had little creatures with him this time. He brought these little halfling creatures, and they looked like, I don't know, gargoyles. They were very reptilian as well. So beneath that face of Derek was a reptilian serpentine creature, probably similar to what was visiting the Anasazi.
Sounds reasonable. You know, waiter, whatever she's having, I'll take two of them. I'll need them this weekend. I'm not sure about the authenticity of this claim by the end times preacher Sharon Gilbert. Yes, an alien imitated her husband. And by the way, on the show, the real Derek was sitting right next to her, and he was kind of going, yep. He did raise his eyebrow at one point, so maybe he's not even sure about this. So this alien imitated her husband, was interested in knowing her in the biblical sense. I'm not going to elaborate on that. And it turns out it's King Xerxes of Persia. Oh, maybe not, because she ripped his face off and turned out to be a reptile with a posse of gargoyles. Well, this is pretty wild. If you're a Catholic convert out there, I want to ask you this question. What is the craziest teaching you ever heard before you became Catholic, whatever your religious background might have been? What's the craziest? Because this is probably the craziest thing I've ever heard anybody claiming to be a Christian. This is the craziest claim I've ever heard anybody make. And of course, people are having a field day with this on Twitter. Everybody's weighing in. This thing has thousands of retweets and quotes and people talking about it. And atheists are having a field day, as you might imagine. This isn't exactly a motive of credibility for Christianity, people saying stuff like this. Anyways, but I should also tell you that for only $150, you can get the 13 DVD set of The Great Delusion from the Jim Baker program. That was kind of flashing at the bottom of the screen as she was speaking. Anyways, I'm really happy to be Catholic. I'm really happy to be in a church that has a magisterium, that has an official teaching office, because, we don't tend to get many reptilian teachings like this. I just thought this was just wild. I had to share this with you. Anyways, you're listening to The Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. We got a couple of phone lines open. If you want to call in, it's a good time to call in. If you have a question, you want to ask me about something, go for it. 888-914-9149. You can also tag me on Twitter at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And you can also email the program. If you've got ideas for future show topics, we love to hear from our listeners. Please send me an email, cale@relevantradio.com. Man, there's so much great stuff that we could talk about. And I'm a big devotee, as you know, of Cal Newport, the writings of Cal Newport. And he's a professor. He teaches at Georgetown University. He's also a pretty great author. He's well known for not being on social media at all. You will not catch this guy on Twitter. In fact, he's got a TED Talk that's called Quit Social Media. I think you should give that a watch, maybe over the Thanksgiving break. It's an interesting take. And it's pretty short. It's not that long. I think it's only about 15 minutes long. And so he's an advocate of not being on social media at all. He doesn't have any social media accounts. And he actually knew some of the guys back in school who were kind of involved with the foundation of Facebook. So, and he remembers when Facebook first came to his campus, because remember, they rolled it out to universities. If you've seen the movie The Social Network, which I thought was a really good film, it talks about the early days of Facebook. And eventually, yeah, it started rolling out to university campuses before it kind of got to the wider world. And on his blog, Cal Newport writes about concepts like deep work. He's got a book called Deep Work, Digital Minimalism. I mean, he's got a website. He's not saying get off the internet completely, but he doesn't think social media is worth the deleterious effects. Hey, you might see reptilian videos like we just played for you. And he got an email from a Protestant minister named Amy. Now, of course, women's ordination is not a possibility. Those who are not Catholic, they think it is. We don't agree with that. Having said that, I don't want to make it about that, but I thought there was some interesting stuff in her email that she sent to Cal Newport, because she was really struggling with her schedule and how frazzled she was. And I think this is a good thing to talk about as we go into the Thanksgiving break. It might be a good chance for us to kind of reflect, because there is a spiritual point to this. And really, what she writes is applicable to a lot of people out there, a lot of you out there, no matter what profession you might be in. So she writes to Cal Newport, and she said, a few years ago, I realized I was on the verge of burnout with my job. So she took a lot of steps to try to compensate for this, to try to deal with this. I give her credit. She realized she was going to burn out, and she started to take some steps. So the first thing she did was quit social media. The second thing she did was she took off of her phone any app that was, quote, refreshable by design, end of quote. So something that's going to continually hit you up with notifications and sound effects and break your concentration, break your flow of whatever you're doing. So she took off her phone any app that was refreshable by design. And so she started implementing something that Newport advocates. It's a fixed schedule productivity kind of setup. And basically what that entails is she set up her work hours in advance, and then she just said, you know, I'm not going to overwork. I'm not going to give into this. And so she, whatever her work time was, and Newport advocates this concept called time blocking, where you just kind of take the hours of the day, you write it all down, and so you block off your time. Like, what are you going to do each hour? And some people break it down to half hours, whatever the case may be. But Newport has always been, hey, when it's, he only works, despite the fact that he's writing a lot, he's teaching a lot, doing a lot of research on his academic job. He's got a pretty full life, got a family life. He only works 9 to 5. He shuts it down at 5 o'clock every day. Now, depending on what kind of work you do, you can't always do that. But he's a big advocate of what he calls fixed schedule productivity, setting your work hours in advance and figuring out, okay, you got it, whatever you've got to do, you've got to make it fit within the time that you have. and not give in to living this imbalanced life. I know that it's easier said than done, but this is something I personally struggle with because the nature of what I do hosting on Relevant Radio, I mean, you could literally be working on this stuff 24/7. And sometimes I feel like, you know, there's no end. I mean, you can keep working on stories. There's always something else to consider. Maybe we could put this on the show, doing research and writing. And you gotta be able to have time for God, for family, for friends, for exercise, which I'm not doing a great job of. And I'm thankful it's not Thanksgiving in Canada, so I'm not tempted to eat the Reese's Thanksgiving pie, which is a gigantic peanut butter cup. We talked about that yesterday. So I gotta dial it back. Tomorrow's just called Thursday, just a regular Thursday in Canada. But guess what? Actually, truthfully, I am celebrating Thanksgiving as well because I double dip. Ours is in October. And don't worry, Christmas is at the same time. But yeah, I'm gonna be double dipping. I'm gonna be celebrating a little bit. Anyway, so there's this thing called Parkinson's Law, and we've talked about this before on the program too. That a researcher by that last name, Parkinson, discovered some years ago that this is actually during the war effort, World War II, that your work expands to fill however many hours you give to it. It's just the way it goes. Like, it just has a way of expanding on its own. You're never quite done. So you have to manually shut it down at some point and make your work fit within this constraint. Otherwise, you're in danger of possibly burning out. So that's what this gal Amy did. She told this to Cal Newport. She also began to take an actual Sabbath and taking that seriously. Obviously, it's a biblical command. And there's a number of books out there about this. There's more than one book by this title, 24/6. And there's one author who's written a book by this title is Tiffany Schlain. And the book is called S-H-L-A-I-N, by the way, Tiffany Schlain. So you can look that book up if you're interested. It's called 24/6, The Power of Unplugging One Day a Week. There are a number of benefits. Which is, it makes sense, right? God is pretty smart. He knows how we work. He created us. There are a lot of social, physical, spiritual, a lot of reasons that we need to take a rest. But we are often resisting a rest. Get it? Resisting a rest? Yeah. I stole that pun from Scott Hahn. Shamelessly so. Shamelessly. We need to have a Sabbath. We need to have a Sabbath. Here's another thing that she did. She forwarded all her work calls to voicemail. So she didn't, I think the reason why she did that was she didn't want to be reactionary to things. And by the way, when's the last time somebody actually picked up when you called them? That's one of the things that happens in this age of voicemail, smartphones. You can't get anybody on the phone. It's always voicemail. And so, you know, that's par for the course, I guess. But another thing that she did was she put in a personal rule that she said she must wait 24 hours before replying to any message that either made her really upset or really elated. I thought that was kind of fascinating. That if some message, somebody's left you a message or whatever that makes you really, really angry or upset, really gets your goat, wait at least 24 hours before responding. And actually, that's a good rule. That, a lot of saints have advocated that rule. Saint Jose Maria Escrivá actually talked about that a lot in his writings. He said, if you're angry about something, before talking to that person about it, wait a day or possibly even more, because that way you can kind of pray about it. Your response is going to be more purified. It won't be coming from, hopefully, a place of visceral anger, but you'll be able to rectify your intention. Hey, you won't, if you offend somebody by your words or actions, if you talk to them when you're angry, you're probably going to have to apologize later. So you can kind of avoid that in the first place by just waiting, and hopefully you won't needlessly offend the other person, and also you won't offend God, most importantly. So, but I thought it was interesting. So she decided to wait 24 hours before replying to any message that made her upset, or even a message that made her elated, a message that made her happy. That's kind of interesting too, this whole idea of avoiding the extremes. And she began to schedule less work for herself. And so she decided to, this is kind of, now again, it, depending on your profession, you may not be able to do this, but she actually only scheduled rigorously 2/3 of the available work hours that she had. She left some flex time. Why did she do that? Because emergencies happen. Emergencies come up. And also that gave her some margin because things don't, they never go quite the way you think they're going to go. Your day is always busted. Your schedule is always busted by something that comes up or some inconvenience or traffic or whatever. So it's good to have a little bit of margin so you're not quite as stressed. And the interesting thing is she thought she implemented all the stuff. She thought people were going to complain. And she was kind of shocked because nobody complained. Nobody got upset. And some people did get upset, but when they got mad at her, she was actually able to deal with it because she was more rested. She was coming from a better place. She actually has kind of a life outside of work. And here's one thing she said to Cal Newport. And this is kind of the conclusion of all her efforts. Time management is a core spiritual practice, end of quote. I thought that was kind of the money quote. Time management is a core spiritual practice. We don't often think about that. We don't often think about that, but this is spiritual. All of life is spiritual. Everything we do, and this is something that St. Paul talks about in his letter to the Romans, when he says, you know, we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And that involves everything we do. This is the theology of the body. We worship God in and through the body. We're not angels. You can say that again. We're not disembodied beings. We're body-soul unities. And this is how we serve God, in and through the body. And so that's part of it. And really, God entrusts us with certain things. This is part of our stewardship, right? And my friend Cardinal Collins is so big on this, and I've talked about this before on the program. Time, talent, and treasure. We want to hear these words at the end of our journey when we stand before the Lord, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, what are we entrusted with? Our time? We don't know how much of it we've been given. We're making withdrawals every day from this little piggy bank called time, and we don't know when the last coin is going to come out. Time, talent, and treasure. And so this is really management of time. It is spiritual. It's part of our stewardship. And I think that's something we can really think about. So maybe when we come back from Thanksgiving break, we can have maybe a slightly different attitude on this and think about how we structure our day in spiritual terms and make sure that we do put limits on it. And you know, work is great. It's a gift from God. God wants us to work. Birds were created to fly. We were created to work. But we also have to pray, and God created us to be in relation with other people, so we've got to do that too. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk, by the way. That's my little TED Talk, and just some stray thoughts on that. So give me a call. What do you think about that? If you want to react to any of the stuff that we were talking about before, 888-914-9149. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. We will be right back after this.